not that hard to step over into the presence of God, even if you're somewhere where somebody else is not feeling it, you can still jump on in. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 3, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible here today, we've got two back there on the table. Raise your hand, Mason will go run and get one for you. If you don't have one, Mason, can you jump up and grab that gentleman a Bible? Thank you. It's his. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a pretty common scripture. But you're probably saying, well, what does that have to do with an offering message? Well, that has everything to do with an offering message. Because love gives. And love does not hold its hand. Love did not hold Jesus back from dying on the cross for you to pay for your healing and your salvation and your eternity in heaven if you so choose to do that and give that to the Lord. But there's a bunch of areas in Scripture, and I was looking at it while I was sitting down back there. He gives life. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives wisdom. He gives increase. He gives us victory. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us strength. He gives grace. He gives peace. There's an unlimited amount of things that God gives to us as his children. And there's an unlimited amount. There's nothing that's in this Bible that's promised to you that you can't have for yourself. I was actually reading this past week. I think Pastor Lacey gave all the women a book with 1,000 promises that God has made us as Christians. And I was reading through it, and it's amazing. As you read through this, and that's not even all the promises in the Bible that God's... There's over 1,000. I think it might be double that. So when you start to think what all God has given you by simply calling on his name and saying, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, he's not holding anything back from you. He's given you all things. He gives you everything richly to enjoy. So we can obviously see God's heart toward us, right, is that he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have these things. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have increase and victory. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to have a comforter and a friend in time of need and somebody that can lead you and guide you constantly. So my question to you is, what are you willing to give? And that question is really broad. It's not just in regards to finances or physical things, but what in your life are you willing to give your whole self? What are you willing to give? This is more than an offering message as I'm preaching it. I wasn't even going here, but this is what are you willing to give up for God? But really, when you actually see it from the reverse side, you're not giving anything up. You're actually storing up treasures for yourself in heaven when you give something to the Lord. And not just finances. If you leave, the Bible says that if you leave mother or father, brother or sister, or house or land, for my name's sake, you will receive 100-fold in this lifetime and the life to come. So that's a promise for you. If you've left a house to go to Bible school, if you've left a property to go to Oklahoma, if you've left a farm, an inheritance from a farm, that you have 100-fold. But it doesn't say just in heaven. It says in this life and the life to come. So that's a promise for today. So you can grab hold of that and say, Lord, I've left mother and father. I've left this house and land for your name's sake. And you can say, that's mine. I take that as mine. So this is not just about your giving of your money. This is about your life and what you're willing to give. But since it is an offering message, I'll tie it in. Matthew 6. Turn with me to Matthew 6. I got to stay on point here. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you have your Bible here, I want you to circle or underline the word treasure and heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then if we skip down to verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon literally means riches. You cannot serve riches, the earthly thing that you have in your hand, this physical money in your hand. You cannot serve that and God. You have to pick one. Do I love God and not allow money to have a hold on me? Money is not a bad thing. It's the love of money that leads to the root of all evil. So if your heart is right and you say, God, I love you and this money is just a tool. If you can say, I love you, but this money, it doesn't hold me. If you told me to give it all today, I'm giving it all today and I'm still do what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. It's not going to change your circumstances because he gives seed to the sower. So if he tells you to sow something, then he has to be able to give it to you and still give you enough to provide your needs. Because it says that he provides all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's not something you really even have to pray about. And that's where we're going to go now. Verse 25 through 33. It's going to be a lot of scripture, but that's the best way to do it. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So let's pause here. They neither sow nor do they reap, nor they gather into barns. They don't store up treasures here on earth. They don't have a barn to put for a farmer around here where they put their grain, where they put, you know, they don't have these things to store up. So they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store, and your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you not much better than they? So if he provides the needs for the birds of the air, which nowhere in Scripture does actually say the birds are made in the image of God. It doesn't say the giraffes are made in the image of God. What it says is that we are made in the image of God. So if he provides for them, how much more would he not provide for us in his own image? If God's image is a great and mighty God and a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, Christians are not meant to walk around broke in the image of God. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So, once again, is the grass made in the image of God? No. But if he clothes them, how much greater are you? And then Jesus threw in this, what I would call a little rebuke to his disciples and the people he's speaking to and said, O ye of little faith. So if you can't believe that he's going to provide your needs and your shelter and your clothes, O ye of little faith, why don't you believe that? That should be common sense for the believer, is that he's going to provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That's Philippians 4:19. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Once again, your heavenly Father, the God that has made you in his image, knows that you need all of these things. So if you seek first, and this is what I love, you do not have to pray and ask God to meet your needs. Because it says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. But there's plenty of scripture that says that if you obey the Lord your God, he'll lead you in prosperity and your days in pleasure. And it says that he has a land for you. And it says that you know, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You have to be obedient to what he says to do, but there's promises that are yours. And that's not a promise of meeting needs. The desires of your heart are not just meeting your needs. I'm sure everyone in here, if I asked you, has a desire that is more than just a need. Right. And he provides that for you when you seek first his righteousness. When you lay aside what you're thinking about you have to do this week, what bills are coming up this week. We all have bills coming up this week and next week. But you know what? God provides the seed to the sower. And when you sow, there is increase that comes back. You cannot sow and not receive a harvest. And you cannot, you need to put expectation on the word. There's nothing wrong with saying, the Bible actually says to put God in remembrance of his word. So there's actually nothing wrong with saying, God, you said this in your word. So I receive it in Jesus' name. It's not, that's not demanding. That is not putting God, you're not scaring God, okay? He's not scared of you saying, God, your word says this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So when you hear these things, you know, no, that scripture is mine. I do seek first the kingdom of God. But are you in a position where you can truly say, I do seek first the kingdom of God? Because that's the stipulation. There's any time that God gives you a promise, there's always something that is required. It's obedience. It's seeking first his kingdom and not your worldly kingdom, and seeking first his, your treasure in heaven that you're storing up, not treasures here on earth. If you can do that and your heart is pure towards God, he will provide every need. And he will say, no, I do. He is looking to and fro to find someone that would obey him. So if he's looking for somebody, you can say, if he's looking for somebody to bless today or give me land today or give me a new car today, it's going to be me in Jesus' name. Car dealerships aren't even open today, but there'll be a new car in your driveway. But you have to start putting expectation on the word. You have to start putting a demand on the word. God is not scared of you saying, God, you said this, and I need this. You know my needs. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not going to strike you dead. So you give to what you love. I love my wife. I give gifts to my wife. I don't go to other women giving them gifts. That would be weird and wrong, and we'd have marriage counseling. Amen. Amen. So, but the point is, when you love something, when you love, that's who you give gifts to. And the Bible says that when you give to the poor, you lend unto God. And God is not a liar. He will repay. So when you stand on that, you know what? Some people get weird about giving a couple dollars to somebody on the corner of the street. But you know what? You're not the judge of what they're going to do with that. So if the Lord tells you to give something to them, guess what? You're giving to the poor, but you're lending to God. And if you're lending to God, he will repay. And God never repays with the same amount that you gave. He always repays with more. Amen. So, that being said, God's a giver. He gives seed to the sower. So, as you're here this morning, pray about what the Lord would have you to give today. And you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So if you're in here and you need to eat, he'll give you everything that you need for this week. But if you ask him for seed, if you say, Lord, now be ready to be put in an uncomfortable position every once in a while when you ask this question. But if you say, Lord, what would you have me to give? And if your heart is open and pure unto God, there may be a time where he tells you to give something that's a little uncomfortable. But I encourage you, when you feel that, to be obedient to it, because delayed obedience is still disobedience to God. There was a time when we were in Bible school, and we were down to our last $40 or $50. And we felt the Lord tell us to give it all. And anytime there was an offering we were going to give, my wife and I would always turn to each other, make sure we're in agreement, and there's power in agreement. So we made sure that we were both on the same page, and we were. And we gave that. That night, we were totally just, it put us into another level of being able to believe God. But that same night, before the end of the service was over, we had, and mind you, we never went around telling people there that we, you know, oh, we gave our last dollar. Don't do that. Don't make it known before men. Actually, let's just so that you can see that in Scripture. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So when you give and when you say, Lord, you told me to give this and I trust you, there'll be a reward on your life and people will see it. But the religious people, they would give openly and in front of everybody to rub it in the people's faces. And what Jesus was saying there is that they have their reward. People think, oh, wow, look at them. They gave, but that's all they're going to get. So when you give with a pure heart. So don't. But that night, my wife had a purse given to her. And in the purse, they had an envelope of cash in there for us. And then there was a Cash App that was sent to us as well. So it provided all the needs that we needed that whole week, but we were obedient. Had we not been obedient, I don't know if that would have come through. Can I prove to you it wouldn't? No. But do I thoroughly believe that my obedience, our obedience to God, is what led to that provision? Yes. Yes. Because he gives seed to the sower. And when you ask him, what would you have me to give? He will speak to you. He will speak to you. Amen. So, there's offering envelopes. Ask the Lord what he would have you do. And this is not the tithe. The tithe is something that we do as believers in the body of Christ. We give our 10%. We pay that to God. That is way before any law was even established. So we don't tithe out of a law. We tithe out of a love for God and thanking him for the provision. And the Bible says that he'll open the windows of heaven when you're obedient to do that. So ask the Lord what he would have you do today. If you have an offering envelope in front of you, feel free to use that. I love this screen. If you want to give through Venmo, if you don't have, you know, if you're like me and you don't carry cash on you, Venmo at NFC Give. You can scan the QR code, give online, and then as well as on the app are a few ways. So just be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. Just be obedient because there's always blessing. Anytime God tells you to do something, there's always a blessing behind it. There's always a promise of a blessing behind it. And I don't have time to go through it today, but if you'd like proof of that, I'll show you. Amen. So if you're ready to give, say amen. 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 Ushers. Our strapping young men ushers. Amen. I encourage you this week as you give to put a demand on God's word. Make sure you do it with a pure heart. Don't say, God, you need to do this. But if you say, God, you said in your word, and you quote scripture, and you, God is not a man that he should lie. So if he said it in his word, and you say, God, you said in your word that you give seed to the sower, you give bread to the eater, you give me the desires of my heart when I'm seeking you, I'm asking you to come through on this need or this desire. There is nothing wrong with doing that. And I'd like to hear a testimony. You know what? I'm putting a challenge out there. I want to hear a testimony next Sunday of somebody here today that put a demand on God's word and they saw a breakthrough happen in their life this week. I want to see a testimony next Sunday. Amen. And the Lord's going to do it. And if it's Saturday morning and you haven't seen it yet, don't get discouraged, because there's still 24 hours in the day before service on Sunday. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the seed sown today. We thank you that you would bless the people abundantly, because you never give only, you never give back only what was given. You always multiply. I thank you for a hundredfold return on the seed sown today. And I thank you for breakthrough and miracles on every side. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How many of you enjoyed that message on the offering?
Amen.
I'll tell you, I could sit and listen to that, because it's beyond our giving. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It truly is. When you get into the Word of God, you'll realize that there's subject matters, but it's intertwined with the life of a believer. So when you read about loving your neighbor or loving God, it allows you to love everything that God loves. And when you read about what God is disdainful or God doesn't like, it allows you to be led by His Spirit and realize in life what pleases God and what doesn't please God. So you start operating in a place of understanding God and His will and His Word, and it allows you to function through life in a peaceful way, because you're like, yeah, God's there. God's not there. I need to pray for that. I need to stay away from that. I need to support that. And you just start moving as God leads you. And He'll direct you in every step you take, where you don't have to feel like you're on shaky ground. You're rooted and firm, established on the rock, and you can walk through life victorious. Amen. Amen. Well, let me open in prayer. Again, we've had like three services already. We had praise service, we had worship service, we had offering service, and God's got more for you. Amen. Father, I thank you for those listening online and those present here today, Lord God, under the sound of my voice, Lord. I thank you for such a strong anointing on your word and a strong presence of your Spirit in this place today. Father God, I thank you that every heart is open to the word of God. Every gate, every eye gate, every ear gate is open to the word of God. Soften hearts here this morning, Father God, to hear the engrafted word. Let it be seared on the heart of the hearer here today, Father God, that faith can attach to it and a life can be changed by it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, this morning I have a phenomenal message that the Lord gave me. Amen. And when I say phenomenal, it's because as I write messages, I realize the Lord's ministering to me. And I get to partake of a message prior to you hearing it, many times over. And it encourages me, and it builds my faith. And when I get here Sunday morning, I'm like, man, the Lord has built me up in a place of faith to release it and be encouraged and be excited about it, because I've been meditating on it. And he reveals to me, and I learned in Bible school, you have to be able to relate to the people. Just because you heard the message three times and you got the revelation on it and you're like all excited about it, everybody here is hearing it for the first time. So you can say, Pastor, take it easy. Convey the message so we can hear it. Don't get too excited, all right? But I'm encouraging you to just release your faith and grab a hold of it, because the message today can literally change your life. Because every time you open the Word of God, the power of God's released.
Amen.
Amen. This is a living Word.
Amen.
So every time you open your mouth to receive food physically, it's opportunity to be enriched and empowered. Same thing with the Word of God. Your spirit literally and your soul can come alive to the Word of God once you open it and once you read it. Amen? So today is no different. So the title of my message today is An Open Appointment. An Open Appointment. What I mean by that is God is available to meet with you all the time, anywhere, anytime. High, low, in between, it does not matter. Old, young, black, white, it doesn't matter where in the world you are. God is present everywhere, and He wants an appointment with you.
Amen.
He wants time with you personally.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not about, oh, well, my appointment with God is on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, hopefully, because at 12:15, I have other appointments. No, God is available 24/7 every day. And he does not want you to have an appointment through someone else. He wants you to have an appointment with him personally at his feet. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. God is desiring to meet with you. The church provides a Sunday morning for us to corporately meet with God. Amen. But you have a devotion time. You have a prayer time. You have all these times throughout the week that you can have an appointment with God. And you get to the place as you grow spiritually, you're constantly with God. Where you're talking with him, you're walking with him, you're in the cool of the day, in the darkness of the night, you have dreams because God is with you. Amen? You have visions because of the appointments you had with God. In my life, I don't know about yours, but in my life, if I go through something during the day physically, this was even before I knew the Lord, I'd have dreams sometimes about what I had that day. And some of them were got a little weird. You know, and I won't share some of my dreams, but there was, I have to share it. There was a time where I was mowing a pasture at the farm, and a little rabbit came out of the grass, and I was like, look, it can't even barely run. So I put the tractor out of gear, I put the brake on, and it's an older tractor, so it had a manual brake, and you manually took it out of gear, nothing electric, and it's sitting there running on the hill. Turn the PTO off, you know, being real safe. Well, I get off the tractor to try to move the rabbit. Well, the brake doesn't hold, and it starts clicking. And here comes the tractor with a 15-foot mower right at me. And I'm worried about the rabbit, and all of a sudden, I could care less about the rabbit. And I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to meet Jesus, even though I didn't even know Jesus. But you'll realize, even in the world, people know Jesus, even though they don't personally know Jesus. Because when they go through something, who do they cry to? They cry out to God. Lord, help me. Jesus, where are you? Even though they don't know him personally. But anyway, back to the story. I did the dumbest thing you could do. I ran at the tractor to jump on it before it got too fast. Don't recommend that at all. But in that night, I was in my bed, and I don't know what time it was, but my brother and I bunked together because that's how our family was. You grew up with your brother. I sat up in bed. I don't recall this at all. And I yell, "Stop the tractor!" And my brother wakes up, and he's like, my brother's lost his mind is what he's thinking. But I was experiencing vividly what took place during the day. That appointment I had during the day became a dream that night. And what I want you to understand is the more appointments you have with God throughout the day, he'll honor that and have appointments and visions and dreams throughout the night. So if you're struggling with bad dreams or nightmares, I encourage you to enter into the presence of God in the day. Have an appointment with him. Deal with things with him during the day, and he'll deal with your things through the night. Amen. Amen. That's a word for someone. Some people have hard time sleeping. Their mind doesn't shut down. Get your mind on the Lord, and the Lord will take care of your mind. Amen. Amen. Some of you are getting a hold of this. Amen. An appointment with God. Isaiah 55:6. This is my foundational scripture from which this sermon comes off of. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. First thing that comes to me when I read that scripture is not the seeking or the near part, but it's why he may be found. And that speaks to my spirit like that means there's a time where he won't be found. There will be a time when he won't be near. He won't be available. And I'm like, praise God, I'm living in a time when he is available. He is near and he can be found. And praise God, I found him. I had an appointment with God on my knees at the altar in a Nazarene church. And I found God. I had an appointment that was made. And him and I interacted together. And I gave him my junk and he gave me his glory. And it changed my life forever. And I'll never be the same again. Off of that 5-minute appointment, my life and eternity was shifted by that appointment. So I think to myself, that one appointment changed my trajectory in life, changed how my marriage is, changed how I relate to my kids, changed my profession from dairy farming to sheep tending. Changed everything. 5 minutes with God changed everything that I do. My perspective on life, my love for people, even my hate towards people. God changed that, thankfully. You say, how could you hate? You hated people? Yeah. There's people that were mean to me. I didn't like them. Didn't want to talk to them. But the Lord, by appointment with Him, softened my heart for people to realize I don't war against flesh and blood. But there's a principality and there's a power behind their motive that's driving them to be the way they are or to be the way they are towards me. And it's not them, it's the spirit behind them. And when I saw that, I realized my appointments with God allows me to have an appointment with my enemy in a good way. Not the way the world says I'm going to have an appointment with my enemy, but the way God says that I can love that person where they are. And no matter what they say or do to me, it doesn't matter. God loves that person. God created that person, and God has a plan for them. And He wants to have an appointment with them. And what I need to realize in my life going forward is my appointments with God causes me to help others have appointments with God. And it changes my life to where it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about my appointments with God. Me seeking the Lord first. Matthew 6:33. Me doing the things that I have total control over and not worrying about what other people that I don't have control over. But as I go and do what God says for me to do, it helps allow me to help others fulfill what God has for them. So your appointments with God literally helps others have appointments with God. Because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. You are the preserving force in this culture and in this world. And it's by your appointments with God that's open all the time. There is no excuse for the believer to say, I didn't have time for God. Zero. Because God's available all the time. It's not like the doctors, well, we haven't seen you in a while. We'll try to fit you in. Let me tell you something. It was at least 20 years before I had a physical. When I went to college and played lacrosse, I had a physical to play lacrosse. After I graduated college, I did not see the doctor in like 20 years. Till my wife is like, you're getting to the age. You ought to go see a doctor. Make sure you're physically sound. Not that she believes negative. She just wants to hear the praise report that everything's okay. So as a man and as a husband, I did. Not full-hedged like, I'd love to go to the doctor. Sign me up. Call them. But we call and they're like, we haven't seen you. And we haven't seen you in so long that we kind of just don't, you're not a patient anymore. I'm like, nice. You know, I thought maybe if I had an issue, I could call the doctor that I have on my card and they'd be able to see me. But it didn't really work that way. It's like, you're off the list now because we haven't seen you in so long. I was like, okay. God does not work that way. Praise God that each and every one of you can see Dr. Jesus right now. And all over the world, everybody's visiting Dr. Jesus this morning. Amen. And throughout the night. God never sleeps. His appointment book is never filled. He's available all the time. So for the believer, never, ever. The only reason you do not have an appointment with God is because you choose not to. Dr. Jesus, He'll come to you. I give Him that. He will reach out and touch you without you seeking Him at times. But when you become a believer, you need to make the decision to go to Him. Never had I had a doctor call me and say, I haven't seen you for a long time. Why don't you come in? They don't seek you. Or the doctor can't see you, but you can see so-and-so and this person that's still in school interning, and maybe you can see them. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Physician's assistants times 10. So you're visiting with someone that is still internshipping because the doctor doesn't have time for you. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of someone that can hear me and speak to me and I can converse with and get wisdom from instant.
Amen.
And that's the God we serve.
Amen.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. The word seek is search out, pursue. It really means to hunt for. When you pursue something, you're hunting for it. You are desiring it. You're making time for it. You're going after it till you get to that place where you receive it. And your prayers operate like that. Your faith operates like that, where you attach it to the kingdom of heaven and you just hang on to that thing and you keep pursuing it till you get the peace of God and get your answer. Amen. That's the appointment we make. We don't go to God and ask and then all of a sudden we just wait and maybe it'll happen. God is a God. He does not lie. He will show up for you and he is available to you. But we must seek him. Some other words for that is to strive after, sought after, ask and acquire. There's nothing wrong with asking questions to God. When you go to the doctor, you should ask questions about things, don't you? You don't just sit there and say, well, whatever he says, I don't understand anything he says, but, oh, well, we'll just go home.
Yeah.
What kind of service is that? How do you benefit from that? If you get a test result, you don't know how to read it, but you go to the doctor and they just say, well, you're okay. And you just go on. You got to understand things. God wants you to understand his will and his word and what he has for you, the plans and the purpose. So when you have an appointment with God, ask questions. There's times where I've been like, Jesus, I have no idea what this means. Legitimately. Why did this happen the way it happened? Lord, show me why this happened the way this happened. I need an appointment with you to get some clarification, please. Because I don't understand why this has taken place in my life. Or why your word says this and it's not happening in my life. I want an appointment with the one that makes the decision what happens in my life. And that's what God does. Sign me up. I'm first in line. Lord, I'm coming right to you. You have the answer that I need. I don't need appointments with everybody around me to get opinions. I need an appointment from the one that is fact, that is truth, that is holy, that is right all the time, that has never missed a diagnosis, never messed a person up.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying is God is 100% all the time. He has never missed it. A prophecy has never been missed. A soul has never not entered into heaven that desired and asked to enter into heaven. You understand? The doctor's 100%. Seek first the kingdom of God. So it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The word call there is to call out by name. Lord, Jehovah, Father, Dad, what's up? I don't understand. I don't get it. Help me in this time. So that can be a prayer, calling on him by prayer. When you ask Jesus into your heart, what does it say? Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. There's a calling. Hey, I'm hurting here. Hey, I'm lost here. My sins have got me bound up. I need an appointment with you. What do you do to get a hold of the doctor? I know you say, well, I can email him. No, you call him. All right? You call the doctor's office and make an appointment. Guess what with God? When you say his name, he's there. You don't have to travel a distance to get an appointment with God. He's right there, even in you as a believer. When someone asks Jesus into their heart, it doesn't take a time frame to say, in a week you shall be saved. It's instant heart transformation. Instantly, heaven enters in. Sin is removed. Instantly. That's what an appointment with God does. You get answers instantly. You get change instantly. It's not take this medication. Don't look at God on worldly standards.
Come on.
Look at God. God's a now God. He's a direct God. Call upon him while he is near. That word near describes place, time, or relationship. So he can be your dad, available right now. That's what near means. Near means in relationship, in time, and in place. So it doesn't matter where you are, when it is, when you know the Lord, when you've accepted him, guess what? Your relationship is you're a child of his. So guess what? Guess what, child? You can talk to your dad right away. Right away. Dad, I need your help here. Dad, I don't understand. See, people want to bring some long prayer, theological prayer. No. It's a heartfelt prayer. It's a heartfelt call. If you say, Jesus, help me, that is a faith-filled prayer that God will react to as long as you mean what you're saying. But if you use God's name in vain and you're using it in the wrong context, you're far from him. The help's not going to come. The appointment wasn't set properly. See, faith sets the appointment properly. Faith sets the appointment. It causes the two parties to come together and interact. That's what faith does. That's why faith is so important. Because without faith, you cannot please God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. So that means if our faith is in God, we are literally walking in a divine appointment with God every moment of every day. It's not something, oh, I got to go to church to have an appointment with God. As a believer in faith, God is in you. You are in a constant appointment that's open as long as you want it to be open. So your prayer life, your devotion, your time with God, your dedication to God, your serving God, those are all based off of your appointment with him. Have you ever noticed if you've backed off of your devotion, backed off of your prayer, you have less appointments with God? You feel farther from him? But when you are in your word, when you're praying, when you're devoted to God, when you're serving God, when you're doing the Lord's work, you feel God's presence continually. When I go soul winning, I'm telling you, I feel the presence of God and I get super excited. When I go do chaplain, there's a presence there because I'm right in where the Lord wants me to be. He told me to do it, I'm doing it, and we have an appointment. So when I go do chaplain and walk into a room, the ICU or whatever it may be, I'm not walking in by myself. The appointment I'm having with that person is God having an appointment with them. I'm just helping out the transaction. It's nothing to do with me. When that man that I met years ago, and he's like, you got it. I could see his face in the room, and I was in the hallway. And he's like, I need help. I'm dying. And the Lord came in and met him, healed his body, delivered, got saved, came to church till the day he died. He just loved it. But he was crying out to God, but didn't know how to have an appointment. And the world is crying out to God, but they do not know how to meet him. They do not know how to interact with him. There's believers that are crying out to God, but don't know how to have a relationship in such a way where they can interact and listen and hear his voice and know his will. The biggest question in the church is, what's the will of God for my life? You find out his will by having appointments with him. Get into his word. Have an appointment every morning with this. Make time to have an appointment with this. And it's going to come alive to you. And he's going to reveal his will through his word. When you pray, pray to God. Ask God. You know, if you have a petition, thank him. That's a prayer. The prayer of thanksgiving. Amen. That's an appointment. All these are appointments and they're available all the time. So I want you to understand something, that no matter where you are, what you're going through, even if you're in a hard place, you can still have an appointment with God. God doesn't go this far and stop. Say, well, I have to be at a certain spiritual level to get, oh, I need to be a pastor. So many people tell me all the time, can you talk to God for me? I know he hears you more than he hears me. That's why I don't tell people I'm a pastor, because they have this mindset that I'm closer to God than you're. Just He created you the same way He created me. The calling has no bearing. There's people called of God that do not have appointments with God. And there's people that don't have a ministry calling on their life that are so close to God. It's unbelievable. They're anointed. The presence of God, the love of God, hospitality, greeters, all these. Man, I'm telling you, God's on them. You shake their hand and you just feel the presence of God. But they don't have a pulpit ministry. That has nothing to do with it at all. The anointing of God has zero to do with your calling. It is your obedience to do your calling that causes the anointing to come. You got to understand that. Just the Lord calling someone to Bible school does not make them anointed. Their obedience to go and do what He's called them to do and their faith to activate it causes the anointing in the presence of God. So if God has called you to be the best construction worker out there and serve the Lord and give to Him and love Him, your construction firm is going to be anointed, appointed, and it's going to thrive because you're obeying the Lord. So it doesn't, you just do what the Lord's telling you to do. Have that appointment and do what comes out of the appointment. So when you talk to God and God says, I want you to do this, this, and this, you get on your horse and you take off and you go do this, this, and this. Don't do four. Don't do two. Do one, two, three. Hear me? Because that's where the anointing and the presence of God is. It's in the exact word from heaven. So when you do that word, the anointing's on it. If you do less, not as much anointing. If you do more, you get ahead of God and it's not anointed. So if I do a message and the Lord says, minister on this, and I go with this and I feel the presence kind of waning, I know that time's up. I don't base it off of your pretty face, or I don't base it off of people sleeping. I don't base it off of that. Amen. Hey, there's a couple of ways. No, I don't base it off. I base it off of what the Lord is speaking to me in my spirit. We're having an appointment up here. And when God's like, well, I think the time's up. It's time to move on. Okay, in Jesus' name. And we disperse. But if I stand up here and I'm like, well, I need 2 hours because these people just aren't getting it and they just need to hear it because they're not getting it. Well, I'll tell you what, they're not going to get it because they only get it through God. They don't get it from man. Calling comes from God. Anointing comes from God. Love comes from God. Salvation, it all comes from God. So if I'm out of God's will, I'm not doing nothing but a dead work. I'm just a talking piece up here. No matter how good I look, I'm just up there saying words. And that is not anointed, so let's move on. 1 Chronicles 16:10. 1 Chronicles, I love Jesus. God, I love the Lord. He has a sense of humor. Amen. You'll find out when you have appointments with God, God's pretty fun to hang around. Come on. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll even send people across your path that you're like, Lord. You'll get a phone call from somebody and you're like, oh, I need your anointing here. Lord, help me. Amen. He may send a family member across your path. And you're like, Lord, give me what I need. The rest of the family disowned him. But Lord, you're telling me to take ownership and be the steadfast person in this family. What do? You make an appointment with God, you rely on the Holy Spirit, and you trust God that He's going to give you the words and the ability to stand in that place, to be the man of God, to be the woman of God, to be the head of the home. Come on, to be the leader He's called you to be. It all comes out of appointments with God. And when you realize that, you're like, Lord, I need you every second of every day. Amen. I can't live this life without you. I've tried, and it stinks. That's a good term. I had another word that came to mind. It stinks. Amen. This world stinks when you don't know God. Yeah. When you look at what's going on and the lawlessness and the way things are happening and what people do to people and what people allow done to them, it's sickening. God, I need you. I need to you so I can handle the day. That's why devotion and prayer is so important. That's why your appointments with God and seeking the Lord is so important, because that gives you what you need for the day. His mercies are new every day, so you have to go to Him every day to get the fresh mercy to handle the day. And if you don't, you're handling a new day with old mercy. And guess what? It doesn't work. No good at all. It's trying to fix something with the wrong tool. And you end up making it worse. There's so many things I've done in my life naturally where I've tried to fix something, used the wrong tool, and made it way worse. Example, a four-wheeler. Trying to get the head off of it, the bolt reams breaks off. So the bolt, if you understand mechanics, is stuck in the motor, the case of the motor. And I'm like, well, I'm going to drill it out. Yeah, that's probably the right thing if you have the right bit and all the right tools. So I start drilling. Well, that bolt is harder than everything around it. So my drill slips off right into the side of the motor. Drilled a hole right in the side. And that's not meant to be there. It's not an air valve, okay? So it's like, I done ruined this thing. Trying in my own power to fix it. But if I went to the Lord, He could have said, He may have said, spend a couple $100, take it to someone that knows what they're doing. Now we don't have the four-wheeler anymore because I destroyed it, literally. That's just one of probably thousands of analogies and parables I have about not following and asking the Lord and being impatient. But none of you deal with that because you all are saints. Perfect, perfect saints. Yeah. You guys are in a part of the country that, you know, duck hunting is in. Did you bring your waders today? We all go through things. Some of you are just picking up on it. Some of you are just picking up on it. Anyway, 1 Chronicles. Usually I'm not the fastest one, but today I got it. I'm sharp. Whew! 1 Chronicles 16:10-11. We have to get more than one verse today. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:10-11. That's the Old Testament, all right, where the pages are stuck together. 1 Chronicles 16:10-11. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. That is why when you find Jesus, you don't want anything else. You don't want any fake Jesus. You don't want to talk to people that act like and talk like they know Jesus, but they're hypocritical. You don't want that. You want the trueness and of who God is. And when He truly saves you and delivers you and frees you from bondage in the affairs of this life, that's what you want. Forevermore. So it's like, if I have an appointment with God, everything else does not matter to me at this moment. Because out of that appointment, I can do everything else. So remember, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be added unto you. So when you make your appointment, keep it set. Don't make an appointment and say, well, you know, I could go hunting today, but I should be doing sermon prep. I'm just sharing an example for myself. You have your own examples. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible tomorrow morning. Well, the dog acted funny, the phone's ringing, everything's going haywire, and all of a sudden I don't have time for my appointment. And then you realize in the afternoon, you wish you made time for that appointment, because the dog's problem and the phone ringing was the least of your concerns. Because it just snowballed in the afternoon where it just went totally bonkers. But out of that appointment, even though life can be bonkers sometimes, you can handle it. I wish I had a better word than bonkers because that doesn't sound. Life can give you a roller coaster or a lemon, and you can make lemonade because your appointment with God has sweetened your spirit to the point where you can sweeten the lemon and actually enjoy your day. Come on, that's a word of the Lord. I'm telling you, that's a word of the Lord. The life can give you lemons, but the appointment with God sweetens you, your spirit enough and renews your mind enough that you don't look at that lemon as a bad thing. You look at it as like God can do something with that. God can transform that. God can change that situation for good. Because God works all things out for good to those who believe. So when you take time as a believer to believe, you're able to overcome. Amen. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What overcomes this life is your faith. John tells us that. Your faith overcomes this world. So why not have an appointment to get your faith stirred up, strengthened, exercised, so when you deal with life, you're like, yeah, God's got this thing.
That's right.
It's not in my power to handle this thing. Amen. But God has me here, so I need to handle it, but I'm not by myself. You may feel like you're the one thrown in the fire. But Jesus is like, I'm right here with you. We'll dance on the flames. And we'll walk out and not have a burn or smell on our body. That's the believer's life. And if you can believe that, you want your appointment with God. Church Sunday morning, it's a very powerful time. Because it's an appointment with God. But it's a corporate, it's a body appointment. Intercessory prayer, a body appointment with a small group, Bible study, corporate. Those things are corporate, but there's individual too. You can have an appointment with your family to talk about family affairs, but then I'm going to have an appointment with my wife as my helpmate about the family. But first, before I do any of that, I should have an appointment with God. Because out of that, I can have an appointment with my wife. I've tried both ways. And I'm telling you, an appointment with God and getting my heart right before I have an appointment with my wife is a very smart move. It's not you, it's me. I'm talking about me. No, I didn't. I was slow on that one. Moving on. So it says glory in his... See, if everybody has their personal appointment with God, life will be a lot smoother. Let me just put it that way. Shoo. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. By seeking the Lord, your heart rejoices. Your heart rejoices. It doesn't say anything of circumstance, trial, test, finance. There's no disclaimer to that statement. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing that can void that statement or mess it up except for us not seeking the Lord. Nothing in this world can stop you from having an appointment with God except for you. You are the only one that can stop you. Don't blame the devil. Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame your kids. Don't blame, I can't get to this because of that. If you want to get to it, you will make time to get to it. I've seen it time and time again. Well, I don't have the money for this, but there's something I really want. So I saved enough money for that because it's something I want. But when you enter into the kingdom of God, it's not about what you want. It's about what he wants. And what he does is if I can say it the best way, he'll break your mindset down enough to say, it's about what others need, even about your own wants. Where selfishness goes out the window and you become selfless. It's better to give than to receive. And that's the power, that's by appointment with God. You have a heart for people's needs above your own. I've said it before, I love hunting. But I'm getting to the point in my life, I'd rather help someone else fulfill that desire in their life than me to shoot a trophy or to shoot something. I'd rather do it for somebody else. And I love doing it, but I'd rather do it for someone else. And when you understand that, that's a hobby of mine. So God didn't kick the hobby out and say, you're never going to do that again. He's going to take it and he'll arrange it so he gets the glory. So I can have time to impart to somebody. So when I can have time to be a father figure or share the love of Jesus with somebody or mentor somebody. It's a bigger picture than my own mind can grasp. But if I'm about self, I'm only working as far as this will go. And don't judge. Everybody goes different spaces with this. But with God, it doesn't worry about this. Because it's the power of God that'll take you far beyond what this can do. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. 2 Chronicles 11:16. I'm probably going to end with this verse, even though I am halfway through the first page of three pages. But this is where the anointing is. This is where I'm staying, and this is where I'm ending. 2 Chronicles 11:16. After the Levites left those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord, God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, God of their fathers. The first thing I want you to see here is that by seeking the Lord, there's a sacrifice attached to it. There's always a sacrifice attached to obedience and seeking the Lord. Every single time, there's a sacrifice attached to it. Why is that? Because the ability to find and see God and have an appointment, there's usually something that's holding you from doing that. The love of money can hold you from seeking God. The rich young ruler could not enter in because he had an attachment to money. So there's always a sacrifice to seek the Lord. It's always inconvenient to read your Bible. Come on. Don't look at me like that, like you never meant in your heart, I'm going to read my Bible, and all of a sudden, you didn't get to your Bible. And then the next day, you didn't get to your Bible. I'm not prophesying this. This literally happens, and it's happened to me. If you think every pastor out there reads his Bible and prays for 5 hours a day, you're mistaken. They still deal with life. They still deal with situations, and they still have to make appointments with God. And they still have distractions. It just so happens ministers probably have more distractions than what common believers do. Why? Because they have their own personal appointment, and then they have appointments for the church. They have prayer time for the church. Amen? They get calls and information from the church. You say, well, I got family that calls me. What about the minister that has hundreds and thousands of people that are wanting prayer and all this kind of, so you got it. You got to make appointments with God. And the more you realize that's around you, the more appointments you need. Yeah. So the more that's being pulled on you, the more time you need to spend with God. Yeah. Because that will drain you and God will fill you. Yeah. And when you're dry, you can't give anything. I'm telling you from personal experience spiritually, I'm telling you from natural tendencies. All right? When the hose is not hooked up to the spigot, you can stand there all day long to water something. Ain't nothing happening unless God does a supernatural miracle and provides water from heaven. But it's not coming through your well into your bucket till you make an appointment with the other end. All right? And hook it up and turn it on. But that's where we are, is we'll give and give and give. Help and help and help, because that's the Christian thing to do. But we never take the time to have an appointment with God to strengthen ourselves so when we give, we're not drained. And that's called burnout. And when something burns, it's because there's not enough liquid in there to keep it from burning. Experience. Many pans in my house have met burnout. Why? I didn't put enough butter or liquid or something in the pan and it burned up. Amen. When the grilled cheese, when the butter's done, the grilled cheese is burnt. I'm sharing personal experiences with you. This is relatable, folks. You say, well, I got 5 pans that I've scrubbed the other night that were all burnt. We all do it. Because what? Our time got distracted and we didn't focus on what we were doing. That's life, folks. You got to realize that everything is going to pull on you, and you need to make a decision. What's priority? Priority is I'm watching my grilled cheese so I don't burn my house down. That needs to be priority in that moment. Just like spiritually, time with God as a believer has to be priority spiritually, or the enemy is going to roll over you like a train. And that's what happens. Shipwrecked faith, because the world has pressed in and it's been allowed in so far that they don't even know if they're saved. They don't even know if they're going to heaven. They can't even hear from God because of burnout, because life pulled so much. And it doesn't matter what level. It doesn't matter even if you're a young person. School can burn you out. Teenagers, you should take time and pray before school. Take time and read your word, because it'll get you through and not get burnout. You may not like school. You may not agree with school. There may not one thing you can find where God is at your school. But guess what? God is at your school because you're there. And when you realize that God is with you, school, you can get through school. Because guess what? Work is not much funner than school. Everybody I talk to, oh, I want to get out of school and I want to work. 10 years later, man, I wish I was back in school. Right? Yeah. You better believe it. I always wondered this. When I was real young, they wanted you to take a nap. When you're in high school, you get in trouble for taking a nap. How confusing. Right? That was not anointed either. 2 Corinthians 11:16. Let me finish up. There'll probably be a part two to this. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord. That's the first decision you have to make, is to set your heart for the Lord. If you set your heart on something else, that's what you will go to. Wherever you set your heart, that's even be, it doesn't say set your mind. It doesn't say set your emotions. It doesn't say set your feelings. It says set your heart. And that's why God deals with your heart before everything else, because you can set your heart on God even though you don't understand anything, even though you can't see the positive in it, you don't know the outcome, you don't know anything about the situation. When I go to do chaplain, I set my heart on the Lord for that I am there to love people and to help them. And I'll go to chaplain, and one time I was in there and I got a call from the ER. A guy came in, had a heart attack. And I didn't know this, but when I walked down, the nurse is like, they're right in that room. Did not know who it was, walked in the room. I knew exactly who the family was. I knew the man, like, I knew him by name. We could talk. And here he is, his family's in shambles. He's laying there with the tube coming out of his mouth, purple. What do? You believe God. But it's out of that appointment, ahead of time, setting my heart, I was able to love them and help them. You say, I don't want to be put in that. God is going to put you in places you don't want to be. But he's going to give you the power to stand in that place, to be the man and woman of God he called you to be. And I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what to say, except for I'm sorry. But I started praying, and the Lord helped me. He helped me through the whole thing. And even to this day, there's times where that family and the friends will come to me and say, thank you for being there. You were a great help in that time. And I thought to myself, I didn't feel like I did anything to help you. I didn't know what to do. But the Lord helped in that time. But it came out of that appointment, setting my heart to seek the Lord. Everyone just bow their heads and close their eyes. Lord, I thank you. Even online, I thank you that even this day today, we can take a step today of faith and say, Lord, I want to set my heart on you. I want to set my heart on you. There's so many things that are pulling, that are vying my time, that are distractions, that are affecting my life, my family, my finance. There's so many things. The enemy is wreaking havoc in my life and in my family, in my emotions, and in my feelings. Well, today's your day. You can set your heart on him. You can set your heart towards the Lord and seek him. Make a decision in your heart. This bypasses the head. You don't have to understand what you're doing. You don't have to have it all figured out. You'll never figure life out. Never. But God has given us his word so we can understand the kingdom life that he has for us. The abundant life that he has for us. Take a moment to set your heart on him. To say, I'm going to seek the Lord from this day forward. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how to do it. I've never done this before. I've tried this before. Today's your day. To take everything from this moment in the past, push it behind you, and set your heart before the Lord. God sees exactly where you are. He's near to you. He's near to you. But when you set your heart on Him, He sees your faith. He knows where you are. He's right there with you even right now. Right now, He's right with each and every one of you. All around the world listening, God is listening to your heart. The position of your heart. He doesn't look at your financial position. He doesn't look at your business decision. He doesn't look at your marriage position. He's not looking at that at this moment. He's looking at your heart posture above everything else. And what He sees is beautiful. He sees a house full of His children saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm setting my heart and fixing my eyes on You. I'm going to seek You in a different way from this day forward. Never again am I going to be the same. In Jesus' name, never again am I going to be the same. Because I'm going to set my heart on You. And I'm going to make appointments with You. Don't worry about how often the appointment and how long the appointment. Just say, Lord, I'm going to make time for You. I need You in every area of my life. No matter where you are, even if you've run from God, even if you don't even know God, by saying, I want the Lord, you're setting your heart on Him. And all you have to do is call upon His name and ask Him into your heart. Just, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross and that You rose again just for me. I receive You now. I make an appointment with Almighty God right now for Jesus to come in and take out the stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. If you've done that for the first time, you've asked Jesus into your heart, you're saved. You're born again, the Bible says. You're a new creation. That appointment took you from death to life. From darkness to light. From a child out there running wild and free and abandoned and lost to a child of the Most High God. No matter where you are, church, that prayer works the same way. It's a prayer of repentance. Lord, now's the time. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry from running from You. I'm sorry from doing what I want to do only. Making my own path in life. Lord, forgive me for that. Today, I want to make a change. Today's my day to set my heart on You. To set my heart ablaze for You. To live for You all the days of my life. To not look back at the past. To not look back at generations before me that have messed up or slipped up. No, I'm going to take control of my life today. I'm going to take control of my life today. My life today is Yours. Let my life be Your light. Let my life be the salt of the earth. Every head bow, every eye closed. I want to thank you for joining us online. We love you. Contact us if this meant something to you and touched your life. But for each and every person here today, if the Lord is speaking to you on the inside, that you're making that decision in your heart today.